Greetings, cows. This is quasi-indefatigable gentleness. I'm Jay Nemro, and we're going to get straight to it. This is podcast number 4 in a series. I don't know how many it'll ultimately be on the subject of child development. And this is the funniest one of all, after I've just said, hey, you know, child development is just so much fluff. I'm going to give you a couple of provisos where I think it might be a good idea. I'm going to give a great compliment to the guys who studied this, to PJ Erickson, all the cluster of people around them. And I'm going to give you some ideas to chew on. Okay, well, you know, if you listen to the podcast just before this, number 3 in the child development series, hey, honestly, you're doing good. You're hanging in there with me, and I'm grateful for that. Let's talk for just a minute about where I think the child development way of working with kids, I think, would be a really good thing. If you're working with the severely handicapped, let me take, for instance, my son, Matthew. Matt is autistic. He has something called autism. It's what's called a spectrum disorder. You put that label on somebody because they exhibit certain behaviors. There are certain things they can do, certain things they can't do, certain ways they behave, certain ways they react to things. And they kind of lump together as a group, and we call them autistic. We don't know what's caused by it. We don't know how to treat it. Nobody knows what to do, but we can work with some people, and we can get them to the point where they can at least function in our society a little bit better than they would if we left them alone. I think this is where child development does some pretty amazing things. Now, I'm not saying that my son Matt is ever going to be to the point to where he's with his cohort in age. When I say cohort, is where he has all the behaviors of somebody his age, or he can do all the things other people his age can do. I don't think it'll ever happen. There's some things where he's up to snuff. When it comes to physical things, running, jumping, stuff like that, he's excellent. He's just as good, if not better, than many kids his own age. When it comes to the neurological stuff, almost everything, oh, he's way behind. So one great thing that child development can do for somebody like Matt is you can place him somewhere along the along his developmental course, for lack of a better word. Let's say you put him through, like, say, the Denver 2 developmental screening. And for some things, like for communication skills, he might be at the age of a 5-year-old. I'm just taking this as a for instance. This isn't based on fact, at least in Matt's case. You can do things with Matt, very pointed, very, very, very tested methods. Try to get him from age 5 developmental level in communication up to age 6. I think that's a wonderful use of the knowledge that was given to us by these people about child development. How to do that, how to try to get him up to a certain milestone. We're excellent at remediation. It's important to apply that stuff to those who actually have a great need for remediation, because the amount of time that needs to be invested, the amount of money, funds, people, everything that needs to be invested to make that kind of a change for an autistic kid, for a communication level of 5-year-old up to a 6-year-old, that's quite a bit. It's going to take up a lot of time, a lot of his time, Matt's time. You need to be careful that the act of remediation doesn't chew up his entire life. Matt has some things that he's very good at. We would like some time to work on the good things. And that's one of the biggest downfalls, one of the biggest pitfalls, at least from what I have finally decided, it's true, to doing things strictly by the principles of child development. Bad idea. Because what happens is almost all people have things they're good at things they're bad at. You know, let's take, for instance, and I'm just going to pick something out of the air, Albert Einstein. Let's take him and let's see what he was good at and what he wasn't good at. Now, I'm not going to say that I'm an expert on Einstein at all. I'll go with some really basic things that I think he actually said. He's really good at theoretical physics, obviously. He came up with the theory of relativity, which is totally new, totally different. That's how he got is the doctor in front of his name. That's how all this amazing stuff started happening. That's why everybody says, oh boy, Albert Einstein, boy, wasn't he smart. Theory of relativity. Theoretical physics. So, he's really great at that. He himself declared that he was bad at math. That he had to work really hard just to be kind of average at math. Now, aren't you glad Albert Einstein didn't fret too much about his math deficiency and that he concentrated more upon his great strength, great skill in theoretical physics? We would have lost something major. We would probably be back in the Stone Ages. We'd still be dropping, you know, apples and feathers from the Leaning Tower of Pisa, I guess, like Newton did, trying to figure out the universe, because we wouldn't have any clue about the theory of relativity unless somebody like Einstein had come around. If Albert Einstein had been part of our system, if he had been put into a child care center as a small child, the first thing that would have been noticed is the fact that his math was a little short. So Albert Einstein's young life, probably into high school, especially if he went to a modern American public school, would have been totally wrapped up in trying to save his math skills. We would have said, oh, no, you don't have time for physics. I know you like that, but you know what? That's not important. The most important thing is we need to get your grades up in math. Your math is bad. We need to get you going. You need to concentrate on what you're bad at to make it so that you're at least average at it. Because that's what child development is. It was based upon the psychologists, remember Erikson, remember Piaget, remember everybody around them, their observations of what the average kid should be able to do at certain points in their life. 5 years old, 4, 3, 7, 8, all these places where kids should be at these certain levels. So they were very concerned about what the average was. When that got translated into programs for kids, everything focused on making sure a kid was at least average, which means that we work to spend our time remediating where they're below average. Spend all your time saying, oh my gosh, this is your low part. If it would have been Einstein, it would have been in math. You better work on your math, young man. I don't want you going out and having a good time. You can't go out and play. You can't go and play with your chemistry set. You can't go stare at the stars and wonder about how reality is, because you need to buckle down on your math. Well, saints be praised. Somewhere back in the distant past when Einstein was a kid, either his parents were just too busy to be the kind of parents that we really demand parents to be these days. Thank goodness he must have gone to a school that said, screw what you're bad at, concentrate on what you're good at. Isn't that true of everybody who's a success? We don't go around worrying too much about our deficits, about what we're bad at. We can pay other people to do the stuff we're not good at. That is, as far as I know, the definition of a good CEO of a company is that, hey, there's some things I'm really good at. I concentrate on those. If I'm bad at accounting, by golly, I'm going to hire an accountant to do the accounting for me. If I'm bad at sales, I'm going to get me a good sales manager and let him take care of sales. I'm going to do what I'm good at, whatever that is. Big picture type thing. I don't take care of the details. I hire people to handle details. That's what they do. They're my underlings. They do what I tell them to do. I tell them to worry about the details. You understand kind of where we're coming from here? Where this is going? If you haven't noticed yet, child development is done in child care centers. School, as we do it in our public schools, all these things wrap around trying to constantly remediate deficiencies. And when you try to have a kid who has all of his bad traits brought up to at least average, well, at least you do average in history, so we'll stop bothering you about history. We'll go on to something else. If you spend the bulk of your time doing that, do you know what that makes you concentrate on? All of my problems. I am just, as your typical kid, is just a bag full of their deficiencies. That's what their parents harp about in our present culture. That's what our teachers constantly spend most of their time doing all this stuff. If they're good, see, and this is if things are optimal. Aren't you glad, number one, that we do a crappy job by and large? We're bad parents. Most of your teachers are pathetic. You know, if they were actually more organized, if they were more efficient, they would be able to do a far better job, and you know what? That would be far, far, far worse. Thank goodness parents get tired and they leave their kids alone sometimes. Thank goodness, instead of spending their entire day focusing and concentrating on that child, turning him into some super kid, you know, like the child development people say you should be doing, you know, that's their model. You have a couple of people that all their lives are centered around what this kid is doing and how we can get them to do better. Thank goodness that isn't the way things are. It's a darn shame, because that's really what everybody wants. If we could make our system, the system of our culture work, the way experts envisioned it, it would be a horrible world, because everything that they wanted to have happen would happen, and you would not become an individual. You would become exactly what some expert thinks you should be. Does it sound like communism? Does it sound... And thank goodness communism was a horrible wreck, too. There's every way to say that if you could find a people that were really dedicated to this, to the point to where they would do a really good job at it, it would be horrible. You would be a slave to them. And that's what we're talking about here. If Einstein had been in that kind of a situation, where we have the system we have now that we think is so wonderful and so fair, he would have never gotten around to the theory of relativity. He would have spent his whole life fretting over his deficiency. I've got to work on... I'm sorry, I can't think about the universe. I have to work on my math. I need to do my math problems today. And then wouldn't that be a shame? So, there we go. That's why child development is basically, at its root, not a very good idea. It's a great way to deal with people that have horrible, glaring, huge, and catastrophic deficiencies, to try to lift them up so they can at least function. The problem is, because we're fair and because we're efficient, we tend to apply these principles to everybody. You might have a child who's 4 years old and is in a model child care program. He might have this incredible mind for mechanics. He's amazing. In the terms of a child development practitioner, he would have amazing fine motor skills. He could take Legos and make amazing things with them. He could take an erector set and build a bridge out of it. His mind and his fingers work as one. All these amazing things. The only problem is, although they would see that, their biggest concentration would be on other things. Let's say, though he's good at that, he's bad at gross motor stuff. He's a slow runner. He's chubby. Because he's sedentary, he mostly works with his fingers and with his brain. He doesn't work with his body. That child care center, if they were doing exactly what they were supposed to be doing, the child development sort of program, would be working diligently trying to make him into a they'd be putting him through a weight program. They would be making him run all the time. They would be working on the things that he was deficient in. And because of that, his whole mind would be centered on trying to fix his deficiencies. The fact that he sucks at things. It doesn't make him a very confident person. He's not going to go out and do amazing things. Because honestly, he spends his life with his head bowed down and his eyes on the floor, saying, you know, I'm not a very good runner. Running, it must be the most important thing because that's all they ever told me was important in preschool, in elementary school, stuff like that. What I'm good at, I don't even remember what I'm good at. I might have known at some point very early, and if I would have been left to myself, I'd probably be amazing. But that's not how we think, and that's not how he thinks. Because our culture is absolutely centered on, you've got to fix your problem. And nothing else matters. We want you to be able to do an office job. And do a good job at it. And it brings up the whole concept of being well-rounded. Which is really what all these things want to accomplish. And it's become a definite part of our culture. We want people to be well-rounded. When we go to school, that's their major thing. They want you to have a little bit of this, a little bit of that. I want you to know a little bit of history, a little bit of English, a little bit of math. I want you to be able to do all these things. Someday you're going to specialize in something. But by and large, all through your primary time of life, the time when you can probably learn the most, the time when your mind is the most active, it's learning, it's growing, it's getting bigger, it's able to handle and handle a whole lot more. What is it being done? Don't concentrate on any one particular thing. You need to get a little bit out of every single little pot. Child development, you can see it in having to move time and time again to learning centers. Now, I'm not saying that child development people haven't seen that it's more important to let kids do what they like to do, to put less structure, to have less structure time. They have said that, but by and large, we've gotten rid of that because it was kind of a crazy idea. There's some powers that be that are really more interested in creating a whole bunch of office workers, a bunch of cogs in the system. The people in power do not want Einstein. Einstein shakes things up. Einstein breaks what's always worked for 200 years and makes people think differently. And people in power have to adjust to that, and they don't like it. So they don't like having those things. They don't want Einstein to show up unless they can profit off of it. Einstein, all the stuff was theoretical. You couldn't actually do it. But let me tell you, it changed how everybody thought and how everybody behaved. And then all of a sudden, the things that used to work didn't work anymore. And that makes people who depend upon things working the way they always have pretty PO'd. So we don't want those kind of people. We want people that will do good working in their office, doing what they're told to do, making the kind of progress that the CEO and that the board of directors want them to make. Trying to make them rich. They're going to pay you for it. I'm not saying that there's a bad side, that there isn't a good side to all this stuff. That all these things are basically a good thing. Being able to work for somebody else, make money, and not have to worry about all the verities of business, trying to sell your stuff, putting that into the hands of somebody else. It's not a bad thing. But in our constant push to make sure that the world keeps working that way, we're so concerned about making sure people are somewhat average. They can have some hobbies. They can have some things they're better at than other people. And we'll try to find careers and places where they can do that. But to really concentrate on what they're good at, well, that's just not a very good idea. That shakes things up too much. We don't need Einstein again. We don't want Einstein. That's the biggest thing of our culture. We don't want those people. Time's nearly up once again. I'm sorry. There's going to be a part five. I'm going to talk about spiky people and how important it is to be spiky, as opposed to being well-rounded. This is Jay Nevro, You're listening to the podcast of Quasi Indefatigable Gentlemen. Be ready next time for part 5 of the series on child development. When is this ever going to end? Oh my gosh! Fit on a floppy disk. Pass it around. We love you. Have a great day. Please, please, as I pass by empty fields, don't be basically a cow just munching away out in the field. Do something more with your life. Don't just follow somebody else's rear end because it's there and it looks like a good thing to follow. Chart your own course. This is Jay Nemro. See us on the internet at Quix, Quix.us. Don't be a cow.